They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Joining me on the Commons, I have the Energizer Bunny. Now, the Energizer Bunny, for those of you who are regular listeners, may remember he was the most amazing and most fantastic legislator in Florida. And his name, in case you wondered, is Julio Robaina, and he is awesome. Julio, thank you so much for joining me today.
And thank you for that very nice introduction. I really, really, really remember our great days and many more to come, dear. Many more to come.
Well, I started recording an interview with your partner, Jose Pazos, who is running for the House of Delegates in Florida.
That is correct. He's actually running for the old seat that I used to have, and God willing, we'll have another, you know, friendly legislator, friendly towards owners in associations.
Well, we started recording a show on Tuesday, but I don't know about the Energizer Bunny, but we're going to have to find something for him because he was actually campaigning while we were talking. He was walking down the street, knocking on doors, talking to people, saying hello, answering my questions, and then he just kind of disappeared.
Yes, I know he ran out of batteries because I remember getting a message, oops, my phone died in the middle of an interview.
So I'm panicking.
That was the problem with him.
I'm panicking, so I call you and I get your message, outgoing message. Julio, can you finish the show for me, please? But we decided we're going to start with a clean slate. Let's talk a little bit about Jose because he is running for your old seat. And he is, and he is out there working very, very hard. In the first thing, I told everyone in Florida to make sure that if they live in the district, to go out and vote, and if they don't, to call their friends to go out and vote. And let's talk a little bit about Jose and a little bit about what he's doing and why people need to vote for him. And then we're going to talk about what you did. And from day one to where we are now, okay?
Absolutely.
All right.
Well, let's start with Jose. I mean, Jose is an individual that that if you don't know him, I tell everybody he is like a clone of Julio Robaina. This is why I support him wholeheartedly. He's an ex-Marine, did several tours in Afghanistan and Iraq. This is a very disciplined man, a man who not only has been a leader because he actually had lives that he was responsible for in these missions, but he understands what it is to take responsibility for people's actions and their well-being, which kind of goes right into the world of living in an association. Jose is also a manager, so he understands managing associations. He's not only in Florida, licensed in Florida, but he's got a national license. Basically, what that means is he can be a manager in any one of the 50 states, which is a very, very tough license to have. Not these little licenses that anybody can acquire nowadays and call themselves a community manager. On top of that, Jose's been given many awards, has been considered by Modi, which is an organization that basically ranks managers, and meaning managers, and when they rank them is what have they done, what do people say about them when they manage a community. Jose's been for many years in the top 10. So this is a good man that understands what the owners, let me repeat that, what the owners go through. He understands what management companies are supposed to do to make it easier for what we call the bosses, the board of directors, and the unit owners, whether you live in a homeowner association, whether you live in a condo association, whether you live in a co-op or a timeshare. Jose understands it. But Jose is the one that understands that the number one priority is the owner, the person who invested, so that they're not living in, as I call, hell, because they have no peace, the problems, and we're not going to get into the problems. We know all of the problems that can occur in an association. But more importantly, he's already been working, even before running for office, as a, not a lobbyist. He goes out as a community activist and speaks in front of the legislature for changes to bring transparency, to bring accountability to these communities. So what he's doing, he's actually taking the next step to be somebody who will continue to write laws and to help the people of Florida. That's about as brief as I can give you a quick explanation of Jose, who he is. Besides that, he's married, he's got two kids, and, you know, Tallahassee or the legislature is a partisan environment. This is important. Please listen to this. I don't care whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or a Libertarian or whatever your party affiliation is, you also understand, Shu, that to be able to pass laws, you must be in the majority. You've got to be in the majority. Jose, if elected, will be in the majority because he is a Republican that is what controls the legislature, both the Senate, the House, and the governor of Florida. The majority are all Republicans. Jose steps in a role where he can make changes immediately. And that's pretty much a little bit of information of Jose Pazos and what he can bring to Florida.
So that's legislative speak, which just adds another reason why people should vote for him. And the election is when? It's on the 20th, right?
It's February 20th. Why is this such a strange date? The lady who was in that position, which was a state representative, which was a Democrat, and she still is, was removed because she committed fraud in the address that she gave when she said she lived in this district and she ran to be the representative. Of course, you know, when you're in politics, people will look at everything. The media dug it up, found out she was lying. She didn't really live in the district, and she was actually charged with some criminal charges by our state attorney, which the deal was then she had to step down. It created an immediate opening. So what we're looking at is a special election in Florida. Shouldn't surprise you. This is Florida. Florida, where people here think that they can get away with everything. And fortunately, you know, this was discovered.
Well, good. You know, I hope Jose makes it. And he's got big shoes to fill, because I remember when you had that position. And you were termed out, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember.
And I will tell you, you remember our battles. You were there with us, myself, and I always like to give credit to Jan Bergman.
Yes.
And that is my godfather. I call him my mentor. And you know, God loved people like that. I wish we can clone Jan and have one of him in every county in the state of Florida. We don't. And unfortunately, he does a lot as a volunteer. But Jan's got our ear. He's got Jose's ear. And Jan will continue to provide information that will benefit people here in Florida the same way you will, because you're very involved. And thanks to your outreach through your radio show, Shu, it's what we need. We need to get the word out there to people. You got to get involved. Don't complain. Get involved. Do something about it.
Well, I'm excited because at the national level, we're seeing some good people step forward and get out. And they've all got their little areas of expertise and their specialties.
And it's so good to get more people on board with us, and so good to see people stepping in and taking up and picking up, because I'm good at some things, but there are people who are good at a whole lot of other things. And for the people who think that, oh, well, they have to handle everything because they lost control, no, it's got to be, you know, you've got to share the wealth. You've got to let other people step in and do their bit, too. So I'm excited. There's some good people. There's Jan. There's, you know, there are a number of people. Debbie Goonan. There's Marjorie Murray. There's Beanie Adolf. I mean, there's so many good people out there who have stepped up and they've taken over and they're doing their bit. And that's what it's going to take. Networking and working together and building something for the homeowner's standpoint. Now, I want to go back to when you were a legislator and when I first met you and had you on the show. You were actually learning all about HOAs, and I remember you making a promise. You said that you were going to do whatever you could to fix this problem. You went around the state. You had held hearings, you talked to people, and then you came on the show and you told us all about some of the horrors you discovered. And you reported back to the governor and you reported back to the government.
Correct. What a concept, huh? Government actually listening to people that live in these hellhole associations. And they not only told us what the problems were, but 90% of the laws that we were able to change in that 1 year, 38 changes to the law, which is a lot, came from their hearings and their opinions, and more importantly, their ideas and what we needed to do. So if you're an elected official and you're listening to this, or you're just someone who knows one of your elected body members, talk to them. Tell them to listen to the people that live in these communities, our homes. These are our biggest investments. And tell them to listen and to take notes. Of course, people will always complain and give you the problem, but turn around and for 1 second saying, so what do you think I could do to change the laws to make your living situation better so that you can live in peace? It's as simple as that. Problem is, government elected officials want to preach and tell you what you need, and this is what needs to be done. I quickly realized in that committee that I was appointed by, I would say anointed by our governor. He said, I'm going to make you the chairman. I'm sending you on a mission to go all through all the counties in Florida, have hearings, and listen to people. They are going to tell you your problems and their problems, and they're going to tell you what the solutions are. And I would tell you that Jose will do the same thing, and I hope that everyone listening that is an elected official never forgets, listen to your voters, listen to your constituents that live in these communities that have gone to be a nightmare to live in. And they will tell you what the problems are. They can also furnish you a list of ideas. That's what we did, Shu. Back then, I came back to your program. I shared with you the list of concerns, the list of recommendations, and I'm very proud to say it's still to this day the largest piece of legislation that has been passed in our capital here in the state of Florida on associations. It was literally 800 and some pages. It took an hour and a half to read the bill on the floor. And
wow.
It made 38. No, it was interesting. A lot of the board, all of my colleagues would come up to me and they would say, Representative, seriously? This thing is going to take almost 2 hours to hear the bill? And we basically told them, yes, you know why? Because for so many years, we did nothing. We're starting to catch up. And I think that opened the door for what you're seeing now. So many more people understanding, so many advocate groups coming out of the woodwork, more people doing what you do. And I think that what we started hopefully will continue to lead to a better life when you buy in an association environment.
One of the things that you did, you made the DBBR responsible, and you had some good people in there initially. They were actually going out and helping, making sure that there was no fraudulent elections. And there was an ombudsman, and people could go and talk to them and all of that. But pretty soon, I think the industry decided that that was a little too much scrutiny. And that sort of disappeared and went away, didn't it?
Well, they still have the ombudsman's office. They still monitor elections, and I'm very proud to say till this day, they still do a really good job in trying to keep our elections here on the up and up without any kind of manipulation. However, the bodies, the people that hired, that were hired, that were working, I remember Virgil Rizzo and,
yes,
and a lot of people in the ombudsman's office. These people, while I was there, you know, I hate to put it this way, but they had a cloak of protection because I was there to defend them. Because when they started working, they really did upset the status quo,
yes,
that were now being exposed. And they did not like it, Shu. They did not like it. So with their political connections, they'd call and complain to the governor. Oh, the ombudsman needs to go. Oh, he's unfair. Oh, he's killing this industry. Oh, what he's doing is illegal. And we had to go to bat for him, and we used to tell the governor, Governor, it's none of the above. These are the people that have been causing harm and problems to the unit owners in these associations, and this is their way to try to remove the individual who's finally exposing and taking on these problems. So what they did is they did away with a lot of good people, and I'm now embarrassed to say that the majority of the people that work for the division are what you call your yes sir people. They basically, they're there, they collect a paycheck. It's what I call government bureaucracy, but they're told what to do and are really at times bending the laws. They're interpreting, you know, statute the way they want to interpret it, and they really are not doing a service. They're actually doing a disservice to the people of Florida who pay their salaries. That is what just happened. So, and besides that, every year, you know, they try to nip away at those 38 changes of the one bill that I've had or other bills that I had passed before. They keep on trying to chip away, Shu, at all the things that we did under consumer protection for people in associations. Because who's up there? You know it is the big money interest, the
Absolutely.
Law firms that want to make money.
Absolutely.
That's
it's the industry. It's the industry.
The
and
industry.
They're right. Using your money to buy a lot of the legislators who are going ahead with them. You had some great people. I remember talking to Jan saying, oh, you know, this is a pie in the sky. It's not going to work. He says, yes, it will, because we have the right people. I was so super impressed because I actually came down to Florida and I met you and I met a lot of the people who were working on this. I interviewed them. Virgil Rizzo and a number of other people, and I was very, very impressed with them, and I was devastated to find out that they had been removed because they were finally doing the job that they were supposed to be doing.
That is absolutely correct. That's what happened. That's the story, and that's called the politics and the industry that wields the money and continues to do what we're talking about, chipping away on what is right and what is good policy to protect people and associations.
You scared the living daylights out of the industry as well. Because
I did. I was threatened. You know that when you're going to take on a battle, you need to get ready to have rocks thrown at you. I was called everything from corrupt, that I really was a two-faced individual, that this wasn't helping the people, that this was just to better myself, and oh my God, it was terrible, the comments that came through. But you know what? I've never been threatened with litigation so much in my life, and never was there a piece of legislation filed, there was never any litigation ever filed against me. The threats were there by some of the largest law firms in Florida, and that we're going to destroy you, and we're going to sue you, and we're going to do this, and what you're doing is illegal and unethical. But you know how life is. If you're going to be scared, then hide in the kitchen. If you want to make changes, you need to get out there and be ready to fight. And that's what the legislative process is about, is fighting for what you believe in. I got to tell you now, in the private sector these days, what I have found to be an incredible ally is the relationships that I made with the media. I know that when you want to see a lawmaker, a politician jump, and they're not doing what they're supposed to do, as we, I would know that firsthand because, you know, they followed us around. But I made friends with these individuals, and I always, they always knew that I was an honest person because I told them if something was good or if something it was bad, because I knew they had a job to report. But here's the thing. We didn't have fake news, like it's all over the place. We would tell it like it is. And what I've been able to do this year is when we found management companies committing election fraud, when we saw management companies committing other types of fraud, and Tallahassee was dilly-dallying with small pieces of the legislation that really weren't going to do much, I decided to turn my attention back to my friends in the media. And I have some of the more powerful media people like Univision in here. We have CBS, ABC. We have our large newspapers like the Miami Herald and so forth. And I started calling them and I said, hey guys, you guys are writers. You guys are reporters. Wouldn't you like to win a Pulitzer Prize? Wouldn't you like to be recognized?
Wouldn't that
and of
be
course
nice?
They're all ears.
Yeah.
They loved it. So what happened, Shu, very quickly, they'd come and say, all right, Representative, we know you know what really goes on in Miami-Dade County and in Florida. We'll come sit with you. Making a long story short, myself and Mr. Jose Pazos gave them so much information. John Bergman then, because you know he's an encyclopedia and he's got a bank of history of what has happened. We started educating the media. And look what these people are doing. And look at the crimes and the fraud that these people are. And look at these schemes. What happened is they went to work. And they actually created a section in these news stations to report almost on a daily basis and on a weekly basis fraud. They get up in property management companies that were manipulating elections. They were getting in the faces of board members, led to a lot of arrests, led to some changes last year in legislation, and they all got their Pulitzer Prizes. So you can imagine they've been recognized not only at our local level. Univision is nationwide. These reporters are now being interviewed and doing this thing nationwide. They're really getting a lot of support, but more importantly, they're getting recognized. And you recognize a reporter for his investigative reporting, you now have a great ally that we used to tell them, and you know why this happened? Go look over here. This representative is in bed with these people. And this guy's getting money from this industry. And they would go, and once you build that line of trust for these individuals, they would go out, Shu. They'd investigate it. It was more powerful than having DBPR go out there. It was more powerful than law enforcement going out there because they'd show up and they'd put them out on camera and they were embarrassed. I can't tell you how many resigned. How many management companies basically dissolved or opened up under different names and they went after him again. So that is the latest tool that we use. And that's why what you do is very important. The power of you guys putting the word out and educating people. So we've got now a massive rebirth of people interested in association issues. Thanks to the media, thanks to what they've exposed, thanks to the arrests, thanks to the fraud cases that they have found. And boy, they have found some doozies that we thought we'd seen it all. But these investigative reporters, kudos to them. They went out and dug it up more and more. And they always, and at times it was just not fraud. It was abuse, the abuse in the laws that allowed these associations to do what they do to the unit owners.
Well, I'm so glad that you've been talking about this because there's so many people out there, Julio, and I'm sure you know this and I'm sure you agree with me, who are terrified, the homeowners who are terrified of speaking up because they will be targeted. Their lives will be made an absolute living hell. Some people can handle it. Some people can shoot back just as easily and just wipe the floor with these people. But for some, they're just not built that way. And so they crumble and they fall. I've always told people you cannot fight this battle in the dark. You cannot fight it under cover of darkness. You've got to turn the lights on. You've got to shine the bright lights on them. And then you watch these people scurry like cockroaches.
They do. They do. And we have the same problem here. Remember that Florida is a retirement estate. So you got a lot of elderly people that live in these condos and these homeowner associations, whether it's a golf community or a 55 and over community, just a very quiet, plain little community. But the thing is, they are scared. But this is the lesson that I always tell them. There is strength in numbers. If you're scared to go out of the loan, when all of a sudden five or more people start making noise and they call the local media and they show what was done here, strength in numbers, the fear factor goes down incredibly, because intimidation is definitely happening. We got people that speak out, the next day they're looking at a fine for some kind of stuff, or they go and they actually physically damage people's cars.
Yeah.
They break their windshields, they scratch their paint. But guess what happens when we got a group of five or more? They don't do that, because now you got numbers. And I'm sure it doesn't take very much time for neighbors to speak to neighbors, where you guys can get five people together, and these five people can go ahead and challenge any of that status quo.
So, but the thing is, a lot of the homeowners, a lot of the neighbors will very quietly say, I agree with you and I support you, but if I speak up, I will be targeted. And so they're afraid of speaking as well. And I've heard from them, I've heard from the neighbors, and the thing is, as long as you are a victim, you will be targeted. So you're right. I mean, you've got to band together. You've got to speak out. You've got to fight back. You don't have to go to court. It doesn't have to cost you a whole lot of money. There are a million ways you could fight back. You just have to do it.
You know, Sue, I always tell people, if you're going to let yourself become a victim, then a victim you will be.
Yeah.
You can't. My God, this is the beauty of this country. You know, we're not living in a communism type deal where you can't defend yourself or speak out, because the consequences can be horrible. This is the United States. If you're going to live in fear, it's not what this whole country was founded on. It's ridiculous to live that way. But again, I understand what happens. Strength in numbers. I'm sure if you know what's going on, you can educate four or five people. I've seen communities with 600, 700 units, and all it took was a handful of people to start it up. Not one person alone, because it's one alone. They basically always try to say, that's a disgruntled person. That's because they owe money. You've heard them all. You've heard the stories.
Hey, I've been...
But all of a sudden...
I said, I've been that one person. I've been one of two people.
Sure.
Yeah, well, I got on the board. There were 9-member boards, and every single vote went 8-1. And guess who the one was? And at the end of the year.
You, the disgruntled person.
I was never disgruntled. I just laughed. But at the end of the year, the votes were 9-0. I had converted
there
all
you
of
go.
Them.
That's
converted
it.
All of them.
And that is what it's all about. Sure, that's a perfect example why people have to get involved. But, you know, I'm sure they made you out just to be this horrible person, disgruntled, when you were probably the only one speaking about the truth. And eventually, it fell. As I always say, the truth will prevail, will eventually come up. You did. All of a sudden, now it tends to be that now they're listening to you and they understand that you had a real grasp on what was going on. And guess what happens to the people that are in the minority? Eventually, they become the majority and are asked to be the presidents and the executive officers of these associations, because people are looking for someone that's honest, that has integrity, that tells them what's going on, and more importantly, is not afraid to speak your mind, to tell it like it is.
The first thing I did, Julio, the first thing I did was educate myself. And I didn't educate myself through the association. I actually went to court and went through all the lawsuits that I could find just to figure out what the hell was going on and what I was dealing with, because this was such a foreign concept to me. So when I did start speaking out, and they were talking, and it occurred to me that the board members didn't know what they were talking about. Management didn't know what management was talking about. And unfortunately, and very unfortunately, the attorneys didn't know what they were talking about. I was armed with actual information. That gave me credibility.
That's correct.
And that gave me credibility. And so when the attorneys tried to tell them something, and when they, whether it was deliberate or not, misinformed the board, I said, no. I think you've got that wrong. It's the other way
around.
Well,
you just basically have made a comment, which is there's something called there that, you know, that knowledge is power, Shu.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power, and knowledge will empower you. And you know, really, some people spend more time reading labels at the grocery store than reading their bylaws and their rules and regulations. You know, that's really sad. That's really sad. You should know what they can and cannot do, what they should and should not be doing. And my goodness, so who's the blame going back on? I always end up putting it back on the people who live there, that if you want to take your community back, you can. But if you're going to sit on your laurels and let someone else do it for you, it's going to be a tough ride.
Well, I think the other thing, too, is so many homeowners are very emotional and very upset, and they come across as a bunch of blubbering idiots, and they're just ranting and raving and making absolutely zero sense. It's really hard to...
And that's sad.
It is sad. It really and truly is sad. But again, that's the fear factor speaking. That's where, you know, they just don't know how to deal with it. And that's when the industry comes back with, oh, well, they're just crazy. It's a one-off. It's an isolated
incident. But this is why, for those that are listening that can relate to that type of situation, I go back to what I tell them. They need to basically meet in their own communities. Pick a leader. Pick a group or person who is articulate, who can speak, who's not going to get emotional. And all you've got to do is be there for them. Write the stuff down and make that person your liaison. Make that person your voice. It's the way it's always been, and that's the way it's always going to be. You need to make sure that when somebody gets up there, they don't look frantic, they don't scream, they don't put themselves in a position where the industry can look at that type of person and say, oh, my God, look at this. Are you guys going to pay attention to that? And yeah, I know, and that's why I said it's sad, because those people are well-intentioned. Unfortunately, they don't know what it is to get up in front of a group of people. And let me tell you, it's not easy. Whether you're getting up in front of a board of directors or in front of your county commissioners or your state lawmakers, let me tell you, it really is tough, because the average person never has that type of interaction. But you can always find one who's very good, very articulate, is not scared to speak strongly and demand and explain very detailed what's going on. That's how I got into it. I guess when I hated politics. I wasn't in the pie. My start was in local government. I got mad when my property taxes went up $400 one year, and I showed up there, but I was articulate in how I gave hell to the mayor and commissioners. I said, and I'll never forget it. I got up there and I said, look, I can scream and yell and call you names, or I can tell you that what you're doing is wrong, that you're misspending my money. And I won't go into the 10 minutes. Well, they gave me five. I took 10
wow.
minutes to speak. And when I got done, I had a bunch of people, including our homeowner association, a lot of elderly people in my city where I live, came up to me and said, young man, how old are you? I said, well, I'm 36. He goes, we got to talk to you. And the rest is history.
And the rest is history. Well,
the rest is history. They convinced me, you need to run for office. I said, me do that? Yeah. Under my dead body, am I going to run for office? That's disgusting. But you know what?
Famous last words, eh, will you?
That's it. I just knew it. Well, Lord, you put me here for some reason. I don't know why, but they're asking for me to help. I will. If I can lend my voice, I'll lend my voice. So I'm a product of this. And then, of course, ended up being a commissioner, ended up being the mayor for 3 terms, and everybody loved it.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know you were the mayor.
Oh, I was. I actually served as a commissioner for 1 term. And after that, they said, Mr. Urbana, you would continue to be the voice of common sense. And you get along with everyone, because you got to get along in local government. Remember, there is no partisanship. It doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or a Libertarian or no party affiliation. You don't run under a party. You run as just an individual. They don't care what affiliation. But you got to get up there and you got to help. And then, of course, they said, you know, we would love for you to serve as mayor. And I had the lovely opportunity to serve as mayor for my little city for three consecutive terms. And at that time is when they came to talk to me about, you know, the situation of running for state government, to be a lawmaker, to be a representative. And again, Shu, I told them, I'm not interested, guys. I worked for Ma Bell. I'm a telephone man by trade. That's what I do. You know, I'm really sticking my neck and kind of taking more and more of my time. So I interviewed the other candidates that were going to run to be my state rep. None of them really cared about my issues. So there you go. Time to make another decision. Do I let these people get in the office? They're going to be representing me at the state level? Or do I run? I basically, well, again, history was made. I had to go ahead and jump into another level of politics that I swear to you that I would have never thought I would have gotten into. But I'm glad I did, because government lacks common sense. Okay. Government lacks what they call public service. Just don't have it.
So for all of you listening now, do you understand why I just absolutely love this man? Quite apart from the fact that he's such an energizer bunny, but I always feel good when I talk to Julio. And before we move on, Julio, there's something I want to let my listeners know. If you're one of those people who's a little bit afraid of speaking in public, and we all are, I mean, people fear public speaking more than they fear death itself. So we understand that. If you're one of those people who has a hard time getting your thoughts organized and focusing, I've got a great tip for you. It's not expensive. You'll meet new people. It's a heck of a lot of fun, and it's called Toastmasters. So find a Toastmasters club near you and go join it. Tell them Shu sent you. Tell them Shu sent you. There's all kinds of really neat stuff going on, and that's going to give you the self-confidence, the power, and the ability to grow beyond anything you ever thought possible. So do that.
That's great advice. Great advice, Shu. I was actually one of those who actually went to Toastmasters, and I learned a lot.
Oh, did you really?
And it helped what I call. I did, and it helped calm a lot of those butterflies, because I went from talking to 50 people in my local city chamber to speaking to thousands of people at different conventions and stuff. And I will tell you, never was it easy. So I'd always go back to what I learned from Toastmasters and things that they taught you, which was common sense. They even taught me how to breathe before I got up in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
Take a breath and to write down your thoughts and focus on getting your message out there.
Organize your speech.
It's not brain surgery. That's great advice. If people would go, and I know every community has Toastmasters somewhere, Google it, find it.
Go
ahead. I'm sorry.
Go to Toastmasters.org. Say find a club. Put your zip code in there, and it'll pop up with a bunch of them. Check them out. Make sure that they're community clubs. Go visit them. Find a club that's going to work for you. And join.
Absolutely.
And join.
Good advice. Good advice, Shu. And I will tell you, it really does make a difference. Remember, that is just a big step. And I don't care if you're 18 years old or you're 85. It would be a great opportunity so that you understand. And remember, what makes this country great is that you can let your voice be heard. Learn how to control it. Learn how to speak. But more importantly, learn how to make a difference in the way that you present yourself in front of these people.
The thing is, you've got to learn how to communicate effectively, because if you can't do that, you're not going to get your message out, and the person you're trying to get your message out to is not going to be able to understand it. So it's imperative. And I joined Toastmasters right after I started doing this radio show. And the reason I did that was so that I would be a more effective communicator. And I'm still a Toastmaster. I've gone up the leadership track. I was the inaugural district governor of my new district here. I was the chief ambassador for the new Pathways, new educational program. So I'm very, very involved with Toastmasters, and I cannot say enough about it. It's fun. And I tell people, if it's not fun, go find a club that's fun. Make it fun. Do whatever you can, but you will grow beyond anything you ever thought possible.
That is wonderful advice. I hope all those listening will go ahead and actually look it up and do it. It's fantastic, and again, it's going to help you in getting the word out, and more importantly, your message across effectively. The word is effectively, because I remember taking testimony as a lawmaker, and I remember as I traveled around the state of Florida with just two mics set up in a big school auditorium or in a public hall, and I got to tell you that some people got up and they ranted and complained.
Yeah. Yeah.
But they really did not offer a specific problem or much less any solutions. And remember what I said, folks, anybody can get up and complain about what the problem is, and everybody probably knows. But if you really want to be respected and have an effective presentation, come up with some ideas. Don't spend your – if they give you 3 minutes or 5 minutes, don't spend the 3 minutes yelling about the problem. Spend a minute on the problem and give them 2 minutes of what you think the solution is, because you know your communities well. You know what your problems are. You know what you're experiencing. Share that information. It's very important. Don't just be up there giving negative, you know, and negative comments about what the problems are. Guess what? Most people already understand it, but go to the solution. I loved the way that those hearings turned out for us, because I never would have thought of all the different things that I put into those 38 changes. I used to call that piece of legislation the citizens' common sense changes to statute. Very simple, because it was what they wanted. People couldn't do this, and you had to do that. And my goodness, listening, please take our advice. We've been going at this for a long time, and you need to get involved.
One of the most effective tools that I had when I was, you know, the arguing with people on a board. You know, you sort of have to come to some consensus. And when you're being attacked and you're the one person, I found that fighting with them didn't really help a whole lot. Trying to make sense didn't help either. So what I found to be very, very effective, so anybody in this position, you might want to try this and see how it works. Don't argue with them. But ask them questions, and what I used to call end gaming it. Just ask them, all right, so we do A, which takes us to B, and when we get to B, what do we do? So B's going to take us to C, and then what, and then what, and then what? And so you take what they tell you and you build it into their scenario, and you get to a point where even they are going to realize that it is a dumb idea, but they're going to realize it's a dumb idea. You're just playing stupid. You're just sitting there going, I don't really understand how this is going to work. Can you explain it? Next. And what happens next? And what happens next? And just keep asking questions instead
it's
of fighting.
Exactly what I would say. It's exactly what I would tell people to follow your exact, you know, the advice that you're giving, Shu. You can tell that you're experienced at this, that you've been at this for a very long time. But again, strength in numbers, and everyone does need to get involved. Stop leaving it for the other person, or you may not see the necessary changes in your lifetime.
Well, I would like to not leave something to anybody. What I want to do is talk to you about one idea that I have. It's a pet peeve of mine, and it's not in any particular association, but it's got to be removed across the board nationally, and that's the ability of HOAs to fine homeowners. Fining has got to stop, Julio. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. The guy next door should not have the power to fine you and deprive you without due process of your property and your rights without any oversight whatsoever. And this is something... Go on.
And I will tell you, it's gotten to be abusive. It's become the hammer that the association board members use, both in HOAs and in condos, on trying to keep people in check. In other words, I call it the bully pulpit. With that ability to find you and hit you, it really gives them the power to do things and to take action against you and to hurt you, because in some states the law allows those fines. Let's say the neighbor doesn't like you, or the board member doesn't like you, and he hits you with something. You know that in some states it becomes lienable on your property. And you can actually go and start foreclosing on somebody's property because his grass was a half an inch too high. That, I call it communism. I call that not the way that the United States was set up to be.
Well, in the, I mean, take the stories that you hear from around the country. And I remember a few years ago hearing, and these are from Florida, a homeowner was fined because there was dust on his mailbox. He hadn't dusted his mailbox. He had a dusty roof. He should go, get up on the roof and hose it down. And, of course, the show that's not going to see the light of day right now, but we will get Jose back on, he fell off his roof. And so here you've got a homeowners association telling you to climb on your roof and hose it down because you've got dust on it. You know, the incredibly stupid stuff that these associations do and require, and they're given the power to fine you, and then in Virginia, they can collect that fine as an unpaid assessment. It's in the law,
correct.
And that's what our legislators have done to us in Virginia. So when Jose gets to Tallahassee and gets to write his legislation, his bills, I really would recommend getting rid of fines. They're going to fight him tooth and nail, and it's
They will fight, because remember that there's also, as we called it, the industry.
Yes.
And guess who the industry has advising them to challenge the removal of the ability to fine? It will be the law firms that represent the industry, because, you know, that means money for the law firms.
Absolutely.
Remember, at the end of the day, it's all about money. Who's sucking the money up here with what is in law, in statute? And that's something that they're going to lobby hard against, and then they're going to use the – this is the excuse, guys. I'm going to tell you right now what it is. Oh, my God, but if we don't have something to keep these people in check, they'll do whatever they want.
Yeah. And that's
kind of... Can I tell you something?
Yeah, please.
This is why I live in a single-family home, not in an association environment. Why? Because my government, my local government, doesn't care if my roof is dirty, if I let my grass grow an extra inch, if my mailbox is dusty. I mean, they'll get involved in some major stuff, but I am not being what you call beat down with this foolishness that goes on, and that's the difference with me. I have lived in an association environment. Never again will I buy in an association environment. But the truth is, you know, that land, and this is what people listen closely, land is getting scarce. Population is growing. The future of living and developing in not just Florida, around the United States, as our population doubles and triples, you will be limited to space for development. So what is the current development that we're seeing in areas that all they built at one time was single-family homes? They're building these PUDs, these planned urban development areas.
Yes.
And they all come with associations. So I always told my colleagues since 2002, when I started in the legislature, what I'm doing is dealing with the future of how people live, because associations are here to stay. If anything, eventually by the year that at that time I was telling everybody, by 2020 in Florida, more than 45-50% of the population in Florida will live in an association environment. That's scary. And to think that these laws are so messed up, and more than half the people in Florida by 2 years from now will be living in an association environment. Think about that. When people think, this is nothing, this is petty, I don't need to get involved in this. You really do. You really do.
What they're doing over here, Julio, is they're taking down parking lots, and they're building thousands of units in a parking, what was once a parking lot. In fact, where the studio is right now, it's in a place called the Mosaic District. When I started this show, the Washington Post did an article on me, and they called it a seedy industrial area because that's exactly what it was. It is now a very upscale, top-of-the-line PUD with all the fancy restaurants and all the fancy stores and the department stores and all of these places. It's a walkable community. They've got all of these dwelling units. They're condos. They're rental units. They've got shops. They've got all of this wonderful stuff. No parking, very little parking because they don't really want cars. They have these little cars that you can rent by the hour if you need to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's what the future is. But I tell you what, you don't need an association even under stuff like that. You look at Europe where they've had multi-unit buildings for centuries, and they don't have the stupid associations. They don't have the stupid rules, and they don't have the stupid governance. And an association in Florida, they had a retirement community. They went after some men because they would meet on somebody's front porch. And the association was scared that they were talking about the association. So they started fining them for actually getting together and meeting. I mean, that's a First Amendment violation. But
that is correct.
Mm-hmm. So,
Sue, it's going to go. It's going to continue to happen. Like I said, I've been it's in the past couple of years. I've actually been in Chicago. I've been in Wisconsin. I've been in places like up in Indiana. And I will tell you that what these areas, they call them slum and blighted areas, and the government labels them slum and blighted so that developers can come in and
right.
buy this property.
Right.
Dirt cheap,
right.
and then they build it into what becomes now the most desired new areas to live in, but they do what they call massive development, that what they're allowing on density in these communities has never been seen before. And how do they get away with it, with this massive density, which you know that the infrastructure will never take it, meaning your roads and everything else that are there. Why? The population of the United States is booming. We're doubling. We're tripling. And that's how they're going to continue to be able to build these, what I call, zero lot line townhome condos,
high-rises,
multi-family dwelling units, high-rise buildings. I mean, in my small city, the tallest building we have right now is 8 floors. And it's been like that since this city was incorporated more than 80 years ago, the city that I live in. Right now, there's a mayoral election coming up in 2 weeks. And you know what the big issue is? One mayor wants to approve for the first time an 18-story building. The other one wants to keep the small city charm. It's happening. And I really think that the one that wants the 18-story building will probably win, because the money that he's been given by these developers and the mailers and everything that he has put out is unbelievable. I don't know how anybody can compete against that. But even in my small town here in Miami that I live in my little city's called South Miami. It's not the city of Miami. So those listening, don't think it's the monster called Miami. We're going to probably be getting 18-story buildings. Mixed use, that's what they call it. It's a commercial on bottom, residential on top.
Yeah,
and that is going to definitely have an association.
Oh, they're all going to have associations because they benefit local municipal governments, and that's why they mandate them. But the thing is,
that's correct. It's...
You don't really need them. Anybody who says, "Oh, well, you've got to have them," no, you don't. I'm here to say you don't need them, and so you got to listen to me. You know me, Julio.
I do.
Oh, yeah, one of the great benefits of doing what I do is meeting people like you, even though we're millions of miles apart. But I just absolutely love talking to you, and I want to thank you so much for jumping in at the last minute. And
my pleasure. I really
hope that Jose wins, and I want him to do away with fines in Florida. If we can get them done in Florida, we can roll that sucker over across the country.
I agree, Shu. And I also thank you again for what you do, and thank you for being there for all of those who live in a association. You know, please get involved, and we wish you the best. I'm not going anywhere. You're not going anywhere. John Bergman's not going anywhere. Jose Pazos hopefully will be somewhere to help you.
Thank you so much, and thanks to all of you.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to Justice 4HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.